Okay, I'm going to talk about the work we did together while Jordi visited us in Lisbon in the scope of the last NIST evaluation for the speaker. What was the motivation at the beginning? This is a brief outline of my presentation. I will try to motivate and to introduce the problem we want to face and we want to solve. And since my work is very closely related to connection and speech recognition, I will have a look to the very basics also. And then I will introduce the novel features that I'm using in this work that I call transformation network features for speaker recognition. And then we will go to the experiments and some conclusions and some future work and current work ideas. So the main motivation was we wanted to participate in this NIST evaluation. We saw that the best systems were using enormous different amount of systems, combining them, and I'm not going to mention them, but you know there are many possible subsystems, and among all of them, I was particularly attracted by what are usually called like-level features. That it's in close relation with the previous session, and basically these systems try to use speaker adaptation transforms employed in ASR systems for speaker identification features, and our proposal is an alternative to short-term orchestral features that are the most commonly used ones. And here we have the work by Andreas. That in fact, the work I'm presenting today, it's very closely resembles that work in another with some differences, of course, it's not the same. And basically, what is done in this work is, for instance, to use weights derived from MLR transforms to produce eight-dimensional vectors, concatenate them, and use distance for coefficients to model speaker support vector machines. So what is the problem? The problem is that at Lisbon, at our lab, we have been always working with hybrid ANN HMM systems, artificial neural networks, hidden Markov model systems. And I will show later some characteristics, but the main problem or the motivation for this work is that we cannot use typical adaptation methods like MLRR that are usually used in Gaussian approaches. So what I tried to do in this work at the very beginning was to see if I can do something similar to the MLRR transformation for hybrid systems and if it can use it to obtain speaker information and to train a speaker identification system. And I will compare this to some baseline systems in the SRE 2008 telephone-telephone condition. So let me start with some of the hybrid ASR basics for some of you that probably are not very related. Basically, we have been working on this for several applications, mainly for broadcast news transcription. But also for telephone applications and for several languages, but our main focus is obviously Portuguese. And usually it's considered that the way it works is that we replace the Gaussians for a neural network, in our case it's a MLP, a multilayer perceptron, and we use this, the probability estimations as the output probabilities or as the probabilities, the posterior probabilities of the single state HMM. And usually we have very relatively few outputs, like just phonemes or some other phonetic units, but not a lot of more. The main characteristics is that they are usually considered better pattern classifiers, the neural networks. They are quite easy to merge several streams, and they are quite good for online tasks, as we usually do. On the other hand, we have some problems with context modeling, and also with adaptation. It's no so, or at least there are not so well-established methods like in Gaussian systems. So this is a diagram block of our broadcast news transcription system for American English. You can see, probably, I should leave this here and use this. Okay. You can see several streams with different features, PLP features, PLP with raster features, and These ones are modulation spectrogram features. Each one of them fits a different multilayer perceptron, well trained with data, with transcriptions and everything. And we merge the several streams with a simple product rule. These probabilities, these posteriors, are used by a decoder together with the language model, the lexicon, and some definitions of the HMM, that is the relation between the output probability and which phoneme, for instance, represents, and the minimal duration also, to provide the most likely words or sentences. Some characteristics of this system in the NIST Hub for 1997 eval said we have in one decoding less one real-time step 70.6 word rate. We use, in addition to phonemes, some other subphonetic units, and we train with a Hub 4, 140 hours, and we have a program language model that is the interpolation of the transcripts and written data from newspapers, and a relatively small vocabulary, 64,000. So, I'm using SRE data for evaluation, and I needed to train a new speech recognizer, and it's a very, very, very weak system because I didn't have access to CTS speech, and basically what it is was to train new MLP networks with unsampled data, with the same broadcast news data. And there is some other differences to the system I use in this work is that I have an additional stream with, let's say, advanced front-end features. I only use monophoneme units, and I did some very informal evaluations, just see for myself how it was working and in telephone data, conversational telephone speech, and I have very high word rates. But anyway, this recognition is used for two purposes. First of all, generate a phonetic alignment with the transcriptions that are provided by NIST, and also for training the speaker adaptations, transformations. So how can we adapt MLP networks to speaker information or whatever else? There are several approaches, but I have summarized two of them. The first one would be starting from a speaker-independent MLP network. We can do the regular backward propagation algorithm, and we start with a network already well-trained instead of random weights, and we do the backward propagation algorithm, and we update the weights, and that's all. The other thing we can do is probably just update some of the weights, for instance, the ones that go from the last hidden layer to the output layer. But probably something more interesting to do is to modify the structure, the architecture of the MLP network, and try not to modify the speaker-independent components. And that's what we can do, for instance, what I call here transformation at the phonetic level. That would be to add some kind of transformation at the output of the probabilities and try to adapt to the speaker characteristics. And on the other hand, you can try to do the same at the acoustic level, try to adapt the input features to the characteristics of the from the speaker dependent to the characteristics of the speaker independent system. So this last solution, I did some tests for ASR to verify that this could work, and it worked, and I found that was the best one for ASR application. So I decided to try also for a speaker, and here we have a typical MLP network with just one hidden layer. This is the input layer, the hidden layer, and the output layer. And how can we train these adaptation features or these adaptation matrices? Basically, we incorporate a new linear input layer at the beginning, and we apply the backpropagation algorithm as usual. I mean, we have data with labels, we make the forward propagation, compute the output of the network, the error, we do the quadratic error, we do the bad propagation of the error, and then when it comes to update the weights, when it comes to update the weights, we just do the update of the linear input network, and we keep frozen the speaker independent component. So let me talk about this transformation network normalization. Well, as I said, it's intended to map incoming speech to a better representation that enhances the MLP performance, and it can be considered a kind of sort or a kind of spectrum normalization, but with some special characteristics, because we are not imposing any restriction in addition to the optimization process. I mean, we don't have a target speaker that we try to normalize the data. And according to previous works, it seems that it's also architecture dependent. I mean, if I train a transformation network with a speaker independent network behind and it changes this speaker independent network, that instead of having one hidden layer, it has two, it doesn't work anymore. So it has some kind of dependence of the architecture. Well, the way of training it is we start the matrix, I forgot to say, with a diagonal matrix, identity matrix, and when we use enrollment data of the same speaker, what I thought at the beginning is that it could hopefully represent the differences between a new speaker and generic model, and that's why I thought that it could be useful for speaker identification. So how I extract exactly the features, I obtain the phonetic alignment with the NIST transcriptions and train a speaker adaptation transformation for every segment, and some special things that I do is to remove long segments of silence to avoid background and channel effects in the resulting features, and I don't use any kind of cross validation that is usually done in MLP training. I just apply some fixed number of epochs and I release the adaptation step based on heuristics that I found that work quite well. Another characteristic is that instead of training a full matrix, and full, I mean, the input usually of MLP is composed of by the frame, by the current frame and its context, and the full square matrix would be n feet, the number of features and the shape of the context. Instead of doing that, I train or try to tie the networks for each frame independently on its position in the context. So I reduce the size of the transformation. These T subnetworks or matrices are identical between them, okay? And in addition to that, the transformation network feature vector, I also stack the feature and the feature mean and variance, because it is very usual to do mean and variance normalization to the input of the MLP. Okay, and I do this for the different streams. I have the PLP with Rasta, modulation spectrogram, and ETSI. And for modeling, I use super vector machines. I have the speaker feature vector and a set of background or impostor set. Uses negative samples. I use the LibSVM with linear kernel, and I did min-max normalization of the input in the rank 0-1. So let's go to the experiments. As I said, I use the SRB 2008, short 2, short 3, only the telltale condition. I use two contrastive systems to verify the usefulness or not of this approach. A quite simple GMM UVM based on quite standard features. I remove non-speech frames or low energy frames based on a well-trained speech-to-speech and a big option alignment of the log energy. I did also mean and variance normalization and, well, typical things in UVM. This is the set of data used from previous SRE evaluations. I also apply tenorm score normalization. Okay. And in addition to that contrastive system, I also use a super vector system that they call here GSV-SVM, and for the negative set, I derive the super vectors from these speaker models, and for the background I use data from the previous SRE evaluations. And I didn't apply score normalization because I didn't see much improvement, probably because there is some kind of problem in my configuration. I'm not completely sure. I did calibration and fusion, gender-dependent, using the toolkit by Nico, the Foucault toolkit, and I did in two steps this SCAL for every single system, and later on I did the linear logistic regression, and in case of doing fusion of more than one system, it's done in, at this step, okay? And I did faithful cross-validation in the same evaluation set. So, well, I didn't take care a lot about calibration because it's well calibrated. I'm using the same set for calibration for evaluation. And here we have already some results. You can see the dead curves in blue are the dead curves of the individual transformation network systems based on different features, PLP, Rasta, Modulation Spectrogram, and ETSI. Here you have the mean detection cost function point multiplied by... I forgot to say that it's the cost. I use the cost of the SRE 2008, not the new of the 2009. Okay. So, and this is the equal rate. Well, the first thing that I want to make notice is that probably it's not very good, but it works. and I was not sure when I started to do this. And with respect to individual systems, we can see probably a better performance of the ETSI features, but I don't have a big explanation, probably because the feature size is bigger, but I'm not sure. Or simply because the network is a better classifier. Then I did two other experiments that was first tried to fuse with a linear logistic regression the four individual systems, or even better, to try to concatenate the four individual features and to train a single or to train a single transformation network feature vector. And we can see a nice improvement with using the complete transformation network feature vector. So let me move to the next one. This is the dead curve comparing the different baseline systems together with the new proposed. I forgot to say that I call TN-SVM. We can see with respect to the GMM-UVM, it performs better at close to the operation point, but it seems that it was worse or it closely strengthens as long as we go closer to the equal error point. And with respect to the super vector, we have a slightly worse performance close to the operation point, and it was quite worse in the other points of the dead curve. Operating points. Anyway, what I think it's important from these results is that I can achieve more or less similar results to some of the baseline systems I compare into. In some cases, a bit worse, in some cases, a bit better, but not significantly different. So the final purpose that was, in fact, trying to use it for improving the baseline systems, and this is the results that show the combination, and you can see several different combinations. These are the two baselines. This is the minimum cost obtained, the equal error rate, and we can see that when we incorporate the transformation network feature system, we have some improvement, probably. It's some improvement. There are other combinations here also. So, I'm sure, okay, with time, okay. I'm going to the conclusions. What I have done in this work, or what I wanted to do, is to show that features derived from ANN HMM adaptation techniques can be used for speaker identification in a very similar way to how MLRR is used for Gaussian systems. I have used an adaptation technique called transformation network. And feature vector based on the concatenation of the several string transforms and the main invariants of the input feature statistics show to perform quite well. With respect to the baselines, we could see a relatively good performance. In some cases, in some operation points of the curve, it was better. In other, it was worse, but more or less similar performances. And we could verify that it provides some complementary speaker cues for fusion, and that we can help our baseline systems. With respect to current and future work that we are doing in more or less with these features, we need to assess better the influence of the weak ISR system because we have very low, very high error rates, in fact. And both for transcription alignment generation and also for the detection itself, because probably with a better speech recognition system will have more meaningful features. We did almost all the tuning and the network architecture characteristics based on heuristics, but we probably should do something more and try to understand which is the relation between the architecture of the speaker-independent network and the resulting features, or even to investigate other adaptation methods. I don't know, try this adaptation at the output of the probabilities. We have some of these things submitted to the interest speech, I forgot to say, and also applying variability compensation like NAP. And something that I'm currently working that I think it's quite interesting is I'm trying to do something similar to what is done in PPRLM for language identification. That is using several MLP networks from different languages and generating these transformation networks for every of these languages with a phonetic alignment and then concatenating a single feature vector and in this way making the approach not needed for the ASL transcriptions and finally making it also language independent. And that's all. Thank you.
Okay, questions? I actually have a question. I think it was slide number 15, Alberto.
Yeah, I think I didn't put number in the slide. Oh, yeah, there's a number. Nice. Oops. Sorry. That one?
That's the one.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay, so with that last entry there, where you're creating a large supervector, I guess, of all the systems put together. Now, what normalization did you apply to sort of help the feature vectors that you're putting together in the concatenation? How did you make them compatible? Did you try different normalizations?
I just did rank normalization at the input of the SVM modeling. I didn't do modeling also when I was doing testing, but I didn't do any other normalization to the feature vectors, just in the rank 0-1, that I think it's quite usual in this supervector machine approaches.
Because I was just wondering if some features may be more discriminative than others, or nothing where you re-emphasize some over the other feature sets, right?
Yeah, but, well, I'm not very sure, but I was expecting that the SVM will cope with this. I mean, he will select these features that are more important. I didn't treat it in a different way the features coming from PLP, or I just let the SVM to learn what he thought it was better. I didn't do anything in this way.
Okay.
The both neural networks, the GLOBE and the UBM neural network and the speaker adapted neural network, do you use in both output layers softmax? And if yes, why you need the softmax in both output layers? And to train a new neural network, you need much more data than to adapt the one you already trained.
Yeah.
So why not to train it from scratch, but from the output of the first one?
I didn't get the first one. You will have to repeat because I didn't get it very well. You're talking about why I didn't start with a random initialization of the MLP networks for training?
Was the output layer of the neural network? A softmax? So
yeah.
Why you need in the first neural network softmax if you just retrain, you need only softmax at the second network?
Let me see. So here, I have a softmax output here. Yeah, and I don't have any other softmax output. Anyway, this is directly a linear input network. I'm not doing any kind of non-linearization at this point. It's a matrix of values. No, there is no non-linearization. I don't know if I'm answering to you.
The input to this network is the output of the...
No, the input to this network is features. It's speech features, PLP or and it's the current frame and its context, not only I use, I think, context of 13, but it's a speech speech features. Yeah.
Alberto, could you flip to slide 14?
That one?
No, perhaps it was the a slide. It was a slide on which you said how many map iterations you did.
Ah, I did 5, and probably this is a problem of configuration.
But,
I think it was, what is it, was this? Here. Yeah,
yes.
I did 5 map iterations.
Yes, yes.
So probably it's too much.
You did 5 map iterations before sending it into your SVM.
Yeah.
So we found that if you do only one.
Yeah, I found it did on Friday.
There's a dramatic improvement.
Yeah. But we verified, well, I'm not completely sure, but in the basic GMM UBM with 5, we've got better. Even if we go further, we got a slight improvement. But we didn't verify it when we moved to the super vector and we do the and I realized talking to you and to David that this was not a good idea. Probably with a better configuration I would have. I'm sure better performance in the super vector system. Sure, I realize that. Thank you.
You put the teaser on the last slide, I noticed, where you submitted a paper to the next conference with the application of variability compensation. Now, can you give us an idea of the results, how they changed over the last presentation of the results table that you had before?
Well, it improved a bit.
A little bit? Or
No, a little bit. It was not too much, but probably there is some other configuration problems because I see that people gets very nice improvements with NAP. I don't know if it's because tell only that the improvement is not so large. I tried with different dimensionalities, and it improves. Yeah, but it was not moving from, I don't know how much I had here. It was not moving from this 6.59 to 3. No, it was less than that.
Okay. We might take this part offline, but I guess there's two schools of thought. One which uses the support vector machines when you've got the one instance of the enrollment, for example, and there's the other school, I guess, when you've still got the one instance whereby we just use the straight dot product without the support vector machine. Now, at least in the case where you don't apply the SVM, I found that ZT norm, for example, helps significantly. So it may be worthwhile, after applying nuisance attribute projection, to also go back to the score normalization as well. That may provide additional
data. I fear that it did something not very good, because I didn't have very experience in the speaker, in fact. And I'm not sure I'm using correctly LIP SVM, because probably I think I was using the probability estimation it gives, and it's not a good idea. But I'm using in both systems based on SVM. I mean, I'm using also in my proposal. So I think I can improve in that way. I don't know if it's more or less what you were commenting, because I'm not doing the scalar product with the vector. I'm using the tool as the same SVM predict. And I think the probability prediction is not a good score for the speaker identification thing.
Okay.
But, well.
All right, very good. Thank you very much, Alberto.